Welcome to Israel and You, bringing Israel and the Jewish people into focus. Our host is Aaron David Free, president of Israel Team Advocates International. Aaron is an author, speaker, Bible teacher, and an advocate for Israel and the Jewish people on college campuses nationwide. This is Israel and You.
Hey, welcome to Israel and You. And this week, we witnessed a total eclipse. And it's interesting that what I call the TikTok prophets have come out before and after the eclipse. And they're saying that this is a sign, a specific sign from God of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And this total eclipse proves that Jesus is coming before the tribulation to catch away Christian saints before they have to endure any tribulation or pain. And of course, there's three views of the rapture. There's the pre-tribulation views, there's the mid-tribulation view, and there's the post-tribulation view. And American evangelicals, for the most part, believe and teach the pre-tribulation view and theory of the rapture of the church. And again, it's a theory. I read a book several years ago entitled Three Views on the Rapture, and the book was written by three evangelical professors. One was, I think, from Moody Bible Institute. One or two were from Trinity Evangelical in Deerfield, Illinois. So these were, you know, extreme scholars, New Testament scholars, and they all had three different views. And as I read the book, each chapter, I thought, man, I believe that. And then I'd read the next chapter. Well, you know, that makes a lot of sense. And then I read the third chapter on post-trib. I thought, you know, that makes a lot of sense. And so in America, though, we teach the pre-trib rapture, which is there's no pain. We're inoculated from all tribulation in the future. And, of course, Corrie Ten Boom, who hid Jews in her home, the Ten Boom home during the Holocaust, she survived the death camps, a Gentile saint, a Gentile Christian, and, you know, later became a worldwide phenomenon, and was speaking one time in China to the Chinese Christians who were undergoing tribulation and persecution. They had to meet in underground churches because of the persecution of the communist government in China. And Corrie Ten Boom said to the Chinese pastors, please, please do not teach this heresy known as the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. She said, teach your people to be prepared for tribulation. Teach them to be ready for whatever may happen to them as Christians. And she said, this theology is only taught in America, but not globally, because Christians globally, of course, are experiencing tribulation even now as I speak. And so it's an American theology. And my view, if you want to know my view, is it pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib? My view is the New Testament is not definitive about the time. In fact, Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour. And I believe him. No one knows the day or the hour. So the Bible is only clear, in my humble opinion, about one thing. And it's very clear about be prepared. It's also clear that yes, there is going to be a day of the Lord, a great and terrible day of the Lord. And but we don't know when that day is going to happen. It could be morning. It could be night. It could be noon. But all I've ever taught and believed is that I need to be prepared. I may not be inoculated from the tribulation period. And I was a pastor for 35 years, a pastor teacher, and I came to the conclusion, again, it might be morning, night, or noon, and I taught the parable of the 10 virgins, and I sense that that is a key parable that Jesus teaches about his coming. And, of course, to the 10 virgins, five are wise and five are foolish. The five that were foolish did not have their lamps trimmed. They were not filled with oil. The five that were wise had their lamps trimmed, and the lamps were filled with oil. But what's interesting is, right before midnight, they all got tired and fell asleep. And so I think that's a picture of where the church is at in these days. It's like we've grown tired. We've fallen asleep and we've forgot to prepare ourselves. But thank goodness that the five wise, they were prepared, even though they were sleepy, and they were ready to meet the bridegroom. So we in America, we have this cheap grace religion. It's a faith without commitment. It's this early ticket to paradise. We all want the first class tickets. We don't want to deal with any pain, any sacrifice. We all want the golden buzzer. And you should beware of pastors and teachers that proclaim a theory as an absolute fact. And I've never really understood how a pastor can teach any one of those theories as an absolute fact. I mean, they can teach them as a theory. I mean, this is my particular theory, but to teach a pre-tribulation escape as an absolute fact, I think is disingenuous to the saints sitting under a pastor's leadership, because no one knows the day or the hour. It'd be like a football coach who is preparing his team for a national championship, and he says to his team, "Now listen, I know some things that no one else knows, and I can tell you as a fact that our opponents, they're gonna give out in the fourth quarter. They're gonna grow tired. And they're not going to be able to compete in the fourth quarter. I think they're going to be disqualified and probably just drop out. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to prepare us for just three quarters, because the fourth quarter, I can absolutely be certain that the other team won't come on the field. So let me just prepare you for three quarters, not the fourth quarter, that intense quarter where if we're in a close game, you know, we've got to make things happen to win the game." So what football coach in his right mind would tell his team, "Don't prepare. Don't worry about a thing. We're going to be delivered out of this game. Something miraculous is going to happen, and the other team is going to step down." No football coach in their right mind would say something like that. And so what pastor in their right mind would say to their flock, "There's absolutely a certainty that the Lord is going to come before the tribulation. It's not a fact. It's a theory only. And there are three good theories, pre, mid, and post. And now there's even a fourth. It's called the pre-wrath rapture of the church." Again, another good theory. But who knows? So all I ever did as a pastor was to teach, be ready. Have your lamps trimmed. Have your lamps filled with oil, because no one knows the day or the hour. And so as an evangelical Christian, I've never understood how our eschatology, and eschatology is the study of end-time events, how that eschatology often finds ways to interpret contemporary Jewish suffering as a Christian blessing in disguise. And you would think we would be grieving over Jewish pain, but it seems there is more intrigue, curiosity about the centrality of Israel in the Bible than empathy. And psychologists say that one of the core traits of a narcissist is the inability to share in another's pain. And if that's true, then searching for personal benefits in Jewish anguish makes narcissists of Christians who engage in this practice. And I believe that those that proclaim Christians are not going to go through any pain during the last days, what they have to believe is that, well, then the Jewish people, they're going to go through the tribulation by themselves as Christian saints get the first class ticket out of here. And so it's as if we couldn't care less about our Jewish friends, about the people living in Israel. We just want out. We want an early ticket. And so we believe it. We believe what these teachers are proclaiming, that we believe in this theory of a pre-tribulation rapture, we get out early. And so it's almost as if we're searching for a personal benefit. And what that does to us, it makes us narcissist. If we engage in this practice, if we don't care about Jews that are suffering now in Israel, and we're using end-time events that are happening in Israel as a way to prove our theory of a pre-trib rapture, I think it makes Christians into narcissists. And I don't know how Christian theology make this leap, but I think I know why. And it's because the regathering of the Jewish people to Israel and their subsequent oppression by other nations is a core sign in this particular Christian doctrine of the rapture of the Christians before the Great Tribulation, spoken of the Bible, an event where Christians are caught up in heaven, escaping persecution, according to this theory, while Jews are left behind to be terrorized by evil forces. It amazes me how, for the sake of self-preservation, that's the why. Why do we believe in this doctrine? It's for the sake of self-preservation. Evangelicalism's most trusted eschatological view, which is the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, is drastically void of empathy, even going out of its way to painstakingly cling to signs that guarantee Christians will be inoculated from all end-time pain while Jews go it alone. And in the last decade, many popular Christian prophets, and I call them the TikTok prophets, have declared the consecutive appearance of a tetrad, and I'm not making this up, four eclipses with six blood moons between them in 2014 and 2015. They proclaim this as a sign of the end of days in a Christian's escape from tribulation. And to enhance their theory, these TikTok prophets pointed out that the four eclipses would occur on Jewish holidays, a sure sign in their belief that their theory of a pre-trib rapture was accurate, that they're going to escape, and it's the Jewish people that will have to go it alone in the tribulation. But drawing upon Jewish holidays to manipulate and massage theological presumptions into inevitable future events is, in my opinion, dubious. And the irony is that the same people who use the Feast of Israel to promote their eschatological view of a tribulation-free future for Christians, not Jews, is that the meaningful truths of the feasts are often lost in translation, having only been studied in light of a pernicious and pedantic eschatological theory. Not to mention the elephant in the room. And here's the elephant in the room: the exploiting of Jewish customs and identity in order to ultimately condemn the Jews to tribulation while Christians enjoy paradise. And this, in my opinion, is theological narcissism at its best. And one of the Christian prophets who pushed the blood moons theory said in a sermon this past Sunday, April 7th, "God is sending the solar eclipse tomorrow." That's few days ago on Monday. "God is sending the solar eclipse tomorrow to warn the body of Christ of the rapture of the church." And there he makes the connection that this solar eclipse proves that Jesus is coming before the tribulation. And after the audience applause and joy-filled shouting subsided, he went on to quote, I mean, who wouldn't clap when you're saying, "Hey, this eclipse proves we're getting an early ticket out of here." And so when the joy-filled shouting subsided, this pastor went on to quote Luke 21:25 from the New Testament and proclaimed, "There will be signs in the sun." And then he said, that's tomorrow. What Luke 21:25 is saying, that this event tomorrow, this eclipse on April 7th, is that sign that Jesus was talking about all the way back in Luke 21:25. "There'll be signs in the sun," that's tomorrow. And then he said, "There will be signs in the moon." That's the four blood moons that have already happened. And then he lifted up the book that he'd written about the four blood moons and encouraged everybody to buy it. He said it's already sold a million copies. Everybody needs to get this book. And then he went on to quote Joel chapter 2, verse 30 through 31. And here's where it gets dicey. And it says in Joel, "I will show you wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke." And then he said, that describes the war you're seeing on television right now in Israel. And so what he's saying is, this war in Israel, the blood, the fire, and the pillars of smoke is what he's saying. Joel is actually speaking about this present war in Israel. That is proof, along with this solar eclipse on Monday, that's proof that we're getting out of here. And then he said, "And the sun shall be turned into darkness." He said, that's going to happen tomorrow. And the moon to blood. And he said, that's the four blood moons in 2014 and 15 that he talked about, you know, 10 years ago. And then he said, this is going to happen before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And what is that awesome day, he asked? It's the rapture of the church. And of course, everybody broke out in applause. So he said the war in Israel happening right now, along with this eclipse on April 7th, is proof that the church is going to be soon raptured before any pain, before any tribulation comes our way. And so to me, that's disingenuous to make all those magical connections. And I think today you've got to beware of these, what I call TikTok prophets, that it's almost like it's a sleight of hand. It's like they're magicians, you know, who pull a rabbit out of the bag. And we all like to be fooled. We all like sensationalism. And we like to say, oh, man, how did that happen? And so by making all these connections, making it sound pliable and plausible because of these current events to prove a pre-trib rapture of the church, again, to me is disingenuous. But eclipses, let's think about it a second. They've been around for millennia. And according to NASA, I looked this up myself. I know you can't believe that. I can look things up. So according to NASA, from 1 CE to 1000 CE, there were, are you ready, 2,351 solar eclipses. In the 20th century, eclipses totaled 228. And that's from 1900 to the year 2000. There were 228 solar eclipses, of which 71 were total solar eclipses. If you were born in 1980 and lived to be 100, and again, these are NASA statistics. So if you were born in 80, lived to be 100 years old, you will witness in your lifetime 80 total solar eclipses. So to proclaim this week's solar eclipse and the blood moons that fell on Jewish holidays in 2014-15 as signs of a coming Christian exit and imminent Jewish suffering, again, seems to me to be deceptive and disingenuous. One pastor this weekend who downplayed Monday's solar eclipse as a sign of the rapture instead used Israel's present war with Hamas as proof of the soon departure of Christians. Here's what he said. This is fulfilling Bible prophecy. Again, what is he talking about? The war in Israel. This is fulfilling Bible prophecy because the Bible says that in the last days, Israel would be isolated. She would stand alone. And then he said, look, Jesus is coming. The rapture of the church in which the Lord comes for his people can happen at any moment. So here's what he's saying. The October 7th, 23 bestial slaughter of 1,200 Jewish innocents, rather than something to be grieved, is a welcome sign of a Christian's escape from pain. I think that's tragic theology. And someone once said that to be truly human, one must see oneself in the face of the other. And if Christians read their Bibles in light of the historical suffering of the Jewish people, the eternal other, they've been persecuted for millennia because they've been the forebears of God's moral law. And because of this, they've endured great anguish. And so can we casually disregard God's choice of the Jewish people as if it were a trivial thing and all the while selfishly jockey for a first-class seat on a theorized early flight from torment? And if we do that, I wonder if we are truly human at all. And a person who professes to be a Christian but does not see themselves in the face of their Jewish brother and sister who've suffered hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years because of their being the forebears of God's moral law to a world that hates God and hates his commandments. And because of that, our Jewish brothers and sisters have suffered. And if we can't see that and stand with them in solidarity rather than say, leave them behind, we want out of here quickly, give us a first-class ticket, let them go through the tribulation, We don't want any part of standing with them in solidarity as they're suffering in the last days of time. If we do that and we practice this, I firmly believe we lack that foundational characteristic that is the mark of a true Christian. And that foundational characteristic is love. And at a time when the world has run amok with violence and hatred, it's natural to hope for an escape hatch. I mean, everybody wants an escape hatch. But rather than manipulating theology for the purpose of self-preservation, while throwing Jews under the proverbial bus, it might be time for some Christians to rethink the motivations behind their eschatology and express empathy for Jewish elder brothers and sisters in their present existential fight for survival, and leave the mystery of the end of days in the hands of God, who declares himself as the God of Israel, who so extravagantly loves the Jewish people that he says of them in Zechariah 2, verse 8, "For whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye." So in these days, as everybody's looking for signs, signs for an early departure to prove theories that are only theories from the Bible, it might be time for all of us who name the name of Christ to say, you know what, if the Jewish people are God's people, how dare I create a theology and hope in a mystical theology that's only a theory and want a first-class ticket while I leave my Jewish brothers and sisters to go it alone. And so I think for all of us, now is the time, instead of using the war in Israel and using solar eclipses to prove our early departure, now may be a time for us to stand in solidarity and show empathy. And again, narcissism is the lack of ability to show empathy to someone who is absolutely suffering. So maybe we be Christians of love today and stand in solidarity with our Jewish brothers and sisters as they fight for their very survival in this war with the terrorist organization Hamas. So we'll see you next time on Israel and You. God bless.